Hold someone's hand. Let's say it together. Our Father, this morning into the afternoon, we receive the revelation that is found in your Son Jesus. Our hearts are open to see the truth that is found in Him. There's no error or contradiction in His atmosphere. We have accuracy, simplicity in the knowledge of the Son. Today, our eyes behold Him as He sees us in Him. He is glorified. We are edified. Amen. Hallelujah. Matthew 16, verse 12. Living by revelation. Living by revelation. It's not enough to know that Christianity is given by revelation. The life itself is lived by revelation. Matthew 16 and verse 12 or 13. Jesus asked this question, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Some say that was John the Baptist, or there's some Elijah, or there's Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Then he asked his disciples, "Whom do you say ye that I am?" Then Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you." In other words, he used the word apocalypsis, which means to uncover something. It says flesh and blood, in other words, experiences, hasn't revealed this unto you. Hear this well. If the humanity of Jesus could only be known by revelation, how much more His ascension? So from His incarnation through to His death and through to His burial and His ascension, what we see is by revelation. It says flesh and blood. So we've done some study on the word revelation. We said the word revelation is used more in the epistles, because the epistles is the revelation of Christ. That's how you get to know Him. There is no individual revelation of Christ. We've studied that for a while. Nobody has a revelation of Christ. I have this revelation of Christ. I see Him as... No, that's not biblical. The revelation of Christ is written for us to see. In other words, the words that we find in the epistles are not words of experiences. As it were, they are words of revelation. So already realize and take note and recognize that the Christian life is received by revelation. We'll explore that a little bit more. And so since we have found out that the believer's life is found in Christ, his life is found in Christ. His life is not found in church attendance, even church attendance is important. His life is not found in what you call altar calls, you know, and some of those things have taken our minds away from the reality. Somebody gives an altar call and says, "Well, I, after the count of 10, run down here." And he begins to count. 1, 2, 3. People are like, that's much more. It looks more like a drama. After the count of 10. They say, "Say after me." All those ceremonies take people away from the reality. "Say after me. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father." Okay, oh God, I come to you today. I am a sinner, I'm worthless, I'm useless, I'm hopeless. But I've come to you today, acknowledge who I am, and you acknowledge who you are too. And we come together, and you become Father, I'll become a Son. Everything I've done since I was born by my mother, in my mother's womb, after my mother's womb, after my mother's womb, I left God, I confess that. Amen. Amen. The man says, "Now I say over you, I pray over you." All those ceremonies take your mind away from the reality. What if somebody comes after? After you have counted 10. Say, "Sir, I fell down when I was coming. Can I still make it?" I've closed the door. I've done it before. I counted 10. I thought it was a special grace. People were around rushing. I said, "I'm opening the door of salvation." Idiot me. Rubbish. Some guy will sit in there and he won't come out and he's saved. And some guy will come out and he's not saved. Because it's by faith in the message. If after preaching about hell and about a woman who went to hell and saw her rings, people supposed to be bold, look at Adele, can I take him there? And saw Paul there. Oh yeah, that's fine. That's fine. And someone hears that, he responds, he cannot be saved. Because Romans 10 says, faith is that hearing of the message of Christ. It's not hearing about nation building or hearing about the history of Israel, how the wealth of Israel is now with the Gentiles. Oh, sorry, that's not true. The wealth of the Gentiles is now with Israel, something like that. But you see, when a man sees what Christ has done, he knows it's by revelation. So the Christian life is by revelation. Our life. When we talk about the Christian life, it's not waking up in the morning and going to work and coming back from work and eating and drinking. No. In John 10:10, Jesus says, I am come that you may have life. Now imagine if you were in that audience. For example, if we're in a meeting, United Nations Assembly now, where you have respectable people, presidents of nations, different nations are there. And they invited the top business moguls in the world. And then somebody comes up. You need to have life. You say, what did you just say? Did you lose your glasses on the way? This is not a cemetery. How can you look at living people, many of them are intellectuals, who are wealthy, and then you say they need to have life? In other words, what Jesus is describing is not the normal human life. I am come that you may have life. Because he was talking to people who were alive. If he says that in the grave, we will understand that he's talking to dead men physically. So he's saying, I've come that you may have life. Life. I've come that you may have life. John 10. And he says, the life and have it more abundantly, which is actually bad grammar, in John 10. You notice that there's an italicized word in there. And come that you may have life. Then he says, and have more abundant. That is, you will not have more abundantly. Just one word is the word periousos. P-R-I-S-S-O-U-S. Or P-R-I-O-U-S-S-O-S. It means superior. Some that exceeds. So when I say that you may have life and exceed, what's he saying? He's saying this life exceeds human life. Human life may come to an end, but this one doesn't come to an end. That's what he's saying. And that's why it's called eternal life. From God, it's called life. In us, it's called eternal. What is given is called life. When we receive it, it's called life. So, in other words, like we said, the word Zoe is not is a Greek word. It's not a spiritual word. Zoe can be used for normal living. But then, when God gives life, Zoe, when He gives Zoe, the moment the recipient has it, he becomes an eternal institution. Whatever God has done for him, therefore, remains forever. And so, Jesus said, I am come that you may have. In John 1:1, he says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was anything made that was made. Then it says, in Him was life. And that's not just talking about human life. The life was the light of man. The life was the light of man. It mentions that the light shines darkness and the darkness couldn't comprehend it. So in other words, he's speaking about spiritual realities. The light shines in darkness. Darkness couldn't comprehend it. In verse 10, he says he came to the world, even though the world was made by him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he, pay attention, the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. In other words, this life is a life of sons. It's a very life of God. The very life of God. Because we are called sons because of that life. We are called sons not because we are born into this world. We are called sons because of that life. Hallelujah. Which were born not of the will of man, not of the flesh, not of blood, but of God. Referring to Christ. So this life is life in the Son. The life of the Son. Look at 1 John 5. Say the Christian life is spiritual. Say my life in Christ is spiritual. So it's not a change of garment. You now start wearing beret. You start wearing beret and then scarf. John told me, as soon as I received Christ, I said, you know now, this hairstyle is called tithing. You cannot bring tithing into Christ. You are a new creature now. New haircut. So he said, I have to have skin. New creation. Old things must pass away. That's my hair. So what if when it starts growing up again, it passes away again, you know. Also, it doesn't mean that before I met Christ, I used to use rubber band to tie my hair. I used to use thread. Is it thread? Rubber. Now that I'm in Christ, I now go to salon. You are both confused. Both the person who started wearing beret and the person who started making her hair. You are both confused. Just different versions of the same coin. This life is spiritual. Hallelujah. It's not a change of clothes. It's not a change of hairstyle. No. It's a change of the man. Hallelujah. It's a change of the man. 1 John 5. Are you still there? 1 John 5. Look at verse 10. He that believes on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believes not God hath made him a liar, because he believed not the record that God gave of his Son. Watch the record. He said the record. That record is called witness. It's the same word he's using, witness. That God spoke of his Son. What is that record? Let's take verse 11 together. This is the record. Everybody, let's go. This is the record that God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in the Son. Hallelujah. Eternal life. I want to see eternal life, Lord, save my soul. Remember, in one fellowship back then, we called it the Youth Christian Fellowship. In Ikorodu back then. So we had this Bible study class, 1994. And they were singing that song, I want to see eternal life. The person holding the Bible said, I wasn't there. So I now told someone beside me, I was explaining it to him, that eternal life is a gift. It's not a vision. Okay? So I showed him, because I had found that out myself. So then the Bible study leader, he was not the pastor, he said, what are you talking about? So he said, well, he said, you want to see eternal life? See eternal life. You want to see? No, that's a request. Come and see eternal life in the Word of God. Come and see eternal life in the Word of God. Oh, my Savior. The eternal life is in the Son. Praise God. Eternal life is not an experience after this life. Look at the next word. Let's take verse 12 together. He that has the Son. Come on, church. He that has not the Son. Glory, 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 glory. So I have eternal life now. Now. Glory to God. When I used to preach for some folks like that, they say, this is a good doctrine. We pray for you. That at the end of your life, you will not miss eternal life. I say, I will miss it. Because in my mind, I will miss that one. What I don't have now, I don't want it. Praise God. This life is in the Son, and I have the Son, and I have that. Look at what he calls eternal life. He's the word, is an adjective that describes. Aionios is the word. A-I-O-N-I-O-S. It's used for something that is in cycles and cycles that doesn't end. That when it gets to this point, it starts again. So that's why it's called timeless. or cyclical. It doesn't come to an end. It's an adjective. It says it's in the Son. What it means is this. Everything God gave in His Son is never ending. It doesn't come to an end. Doesn't come to an end. Don't say, let us be careful of the grace of God. Because we can waste this grace. You are wasting the grace. If you have to get forgiveness of sins from God every day, don't you know one day will come when you will have wasted that grace and the remaining will not be enough? Some people are just afraid that the gospel might not be true. It's fear. It's fear. Real fear. Real fear. That's why the issue of rapture is scary. Whereas those who wrote about the coming of Christ say, comfort yourselves. It is a comfort yourselves, a comfort. That when you hear about it, thank God. Thank God. So we have eternal life. The life that we receive in Christ is eternal life. So deeper life is wrong. When they ask their people to pray for it, they are wrong. Redeemed Christian Church of God is wrong. Because they say that you have to ask for it. Or it will come to you when you are dead. And then you are done right. No, you are both wrong, you churches. And what you are teaching your members is wrong. Paul is right. Jesus is right. John is right. Hallelujah. Because eternal life is in Christ. The moment you are in Christ, what do you have? Eternal life. That means that experience, if we can call it, is an eternal one. It's God who made it so. It's not a conditional eternity. No, it's because God gave it, and the way it is, it remains forever. Hallelujah. And there are many denominations like that. Who preach that? The Methodist movement also. After sanctification, then you get it. They call it a reward. Paul says no. He says, the wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. But the gift of God. Hallelujah. So be the gift of God. The word gift in the Greek means what is given without conditions. The gift of God is eternal life. Hallelujah. So eternal life is not a salary. It's not a pension for living right. No, when you have done the Christian life and you have done where they give you your pension, to the right of pension for you. How many years were you in Christ? Well, I was in Christ for some time. I came out again. But then after I stabilized, towards the end, I remained there. I didn't come out. Okay, so you write your pension. Pension scheme. Eternal life. No. The moment you said yes to the gospel, that experience is eternal life. Hallelujah. It's eternal life. You may not feel it. You may not feel like it all the time. But that doesn't change it. It's called eternal life. It's in the Son. It's in the Son. Praise God. I said it's in the Son. Praise God. 1 John 1:3. 1 John 1:3. I'll start from 2. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show it unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you may have fellowship with us, and truly have fellowship with the Father, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. He said, this life is with the Father. So when we preach the gospel, what did we preach to people? Eternal life. When a man believes the gospel, what does he receive? Eternal life. That decision and what is received can never be lost. It can never be changed. It's eternal life. If it wasn't received, then it's not eternal. But it has been received, then it is eternal. 1 John 2:25.
And this is the promise that he promised us. Eternal life. Say, I have eternal life today. Look at John 10. Let's get back to that John 10. Glory to God. So never let experiences shape how you see God. This will shape it. Let the word give you the direction. John 10. Now, you know, we read John 10:10. Now, why did he say what he said? John 10 should actually not be the beginning of a chapter. I must have said that to you before. The whole story started from John 9. John chapter 9, verse 1. When there was a man who was born blind. And then the disciples asked him, because they were following the custom of the Jews, who believed in what you can call reincarnation, or they believe in a father sin maybe upon the children. So they said, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? In other words, they imply that he must have done something from the womb, or his parents did something before he was born. And then Jesus answered and said, neither. Now, this is another terrible interpretation by the King James translators. Neither has this man seen nor his parents. Now, in the Greek, the way he sounds is, hear me well, the word neither is like saying, take your mind off that. Like, not at all. It has nothing to do with the man sinning or his parents. In other words, Jesus answers a crucial question here in the minds of those today who still have that in the African culture. Now, maybe it's my parents that did something, and maybe my great grandfather and stuff like that. And people, even in churches, start to change their names. I'm no longer bearing Oguwa now. You know, I'm a Christian now, so what do you not bear? Grace Wally or Spirit Wally? What's wrong with you? You know, so that I will not be taking on what my parents have done. He says, neither. He said, but that the works of God must be made manifest in him. I must walk the works of him that sent me. Imagine this. Someone say, no, neither has he sinned, but he became blind so that the works of God might be made manifest. How did you read the Bible like that? He answered him. Neither has this man sinned, or anybody. That's not the reason why he's blind. Never think because you sinned, that's why you are sick. No, you are sick because you were sick in the body, and healing is yours. Don't ask the wrong questions. Don't get mentally agitated. Why did it happen? Why? What was God looking at? No, you are asking the wrong question. God's work is healing. Jesus simply said that the works of God might be made manifest. I must walk the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can walk. Let's take verse 5 together. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Very simple. Very simple. In other words, that is not the work of God. Now, when that happened, and the man was healed, he went his way and told his neighbors. And then look at what happened. In verse 15, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. Then he talked about Jesus. Then he said in verse 16, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And I was deceived. You see the different doctrine. And he said unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that opened the eyes? He said, well, he's a prophet. And then there was a problem. So they began to criticize Jesus. And they began to talk about Jesus. This was where the story came from. The story chapter 10 started from. And then they went on and on. And then in verse 34, the answer that said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard them that cast him out. And when they had found him, he said unto him, do thou believe on the Son of God? He asked. He said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Jesus said unto him, thou hast seen him, and it is he that talks with thee. Then he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped. Jesus now said, for judgment, verse 39, I'm come to this world that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. Wow, you know, that's a figure of speech. He said, when the Pharisees which were with him heard this word, are you now saying, are we blind also? And he says, if you were blind, you will have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remains. Can you see the figure of speech? Self-righteous folks. He said, the sick are the ones that need the doctor. But those who are well, there's a figure of speech, those who are well, they don't need a doctor. And when he said that, verily I say unto you, he that enters not by the door into the sheepfold, he's talking about the Pharisees, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. Then he says in verse 2, he that enters in by the door, he says, is the sheep of the shepherd. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will not they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of the stranger. Watch this now. This parable spoke Jesus unto them, but they understood not the things which he said unto them. Then he said unto them, look at this very well. Look at how we interpreted the Bible. Verily, so this discussion was between him and who? Very good. And so he used the figure of speech to describe their self-righteousness. It did. Then he says here, I am the door of the sheep. Hallelujah. All that ever came before me, you know who they are now? Huh? Are thieves and robbers. But the sheep shall not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter him, he shall be saved. And shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not. Is this the devil? Is this still the devil? Who? People he just spoke to. The thief cometh not, but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, watch this now, that giveth his life for the sheep. But those who are hirelings and not shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catches them, this is a figure of speech, and scatters the sheep. The hireling flees because he's an hireling and cares not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and I'm known of mine. As the Father knows me, even so I, the Father, and lays down my life for the sheep. Jesus qualifies because he's the sacrifice. And the other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I will bring. I must bring. And they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. So what is his voice? His summon or his sacrifice? His sacrifice. Thus, my Father loves me because I laid down my life that I might take it again. No man take it from me, but I laid down of myself. And I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of the Father. Hallelujah. So when he says, I am come that they might have life, was that life available that day or when he died? You see, let me see if that's clear to you now. So he was referring to them that they are hirelings. So the thief that cometh not to steal, to kill, and to destroy is not Satan, even though Satan is walking in them. But he was referring to men. The Pharisees and Sadducees, who are false shepherds, hirelings. But he said, I am that good shepherd who lays down his life for the flock. So he gives us eternal life in his death. What he promised here was post-resurrection. In John 12, 25, 24, pardon me. Verily, verily, he says, except the corn of wheat shall fall to the ground and die, he abides alone. If it dies, it brings forth much fruit. Much fruit. This is found in his resurrection. In Romans 6, pardon me. Romans 6. Before you get Romans 6, look at John 6. John 6. Are you still there? Verse 48. I'll start from 47. Let's take 47 together. John 6, 47. Let's go. No, let's take 35 first. 35. Let's go. I am the John 6, 35. Let's go. I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger. He that believes on me shall never thirst. Shall never hunger. And I'll never thirst. Look at verse 46. 47. Let's take it together. 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me has what? Say, I have everlasting life. Say, I have everlasting life. Look at 48. I am that bread of life. Look at verse 53. Verse 53. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. That's faith now. Whosoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. Say, I have eternal life. I will raise him up the last day. Look at 58. Let's say 58 together. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eats of this bread shall live forever. It's an experience that doesn't come to an end. So they were confused. What are you saying? Look at 63. Let's go. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. The words I speak to you are spirits and they are life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They are spirit. So eternal life is ours today. The eat that eats shall never ever hunger. It will not need another experience. Hallelujah. That is, you eat this once. You don't eat of Christ or receive the gospel twice. You don't receive Christ twice. Why many of us came twice is because in the two times we were ignorant. What brought you up for altar call is called ignorance. So what you came for the second time was sense knowledge. You just came to feel good. Say, I can't even say the exact day. But I know that I give my life many times. But one day, I now chose to be committed. That this one, I will not live again. You have tried. You have tried. But you see, that commitment means nothing to God. Nothing. You don't receive Christ twice. Because it's the bread of life that when you eat of him, you will never hunger again. He told that woman in John 4, verse 14. He said, you will drink of this water, you will thirst again. He said, but the water I shall give to you shall be in you a well, springing up unto what? Everlasting life. Anyone who preaches, come and rededicate your life to Christ, is not preaching the gospel. Your life has been dedicated once and for all. You don't receive Christ twice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's once. Say, you will never thirst. You will never hunger again. You can feel hungry because of some teachings you heard. I remember I asked Reverend Chris Okotie this question years ago. And he said he used to ensure that when people call those out for salvation, the two things he used to ensure, that people's eyes are opened.
So nobody is closing the eyes and saying, who is going out? Who is going? That is not a secret thing. Then he used to ensure that when they are praying in their church, the household of God, that they will say, this is forever. That he did it deliberately. So that the guy will know it's forever. Now, of course, that's just their own method of passing that across. That it's forever. That's not something you have to, you are not going to do this again, no. Hallelujah. What if I fall down? You will get up. What if I begin to struggle? You will grow up. But struggling is not an evidence that there is no life. It's an eternal life. Say, I have eternal life. It's once. So, the moment in your mind, hear me well, your mind starts getting agitated. You are listening to the wrong things. Something is wrong in what you are feeding on. Do you know this? That even historians of church history have been able to say this, that the first letters or books or materials written by the early church fathers in the first 100 years, 120, 200 years, that there was a very strong feeling of the churches, in the churches, about the assurance of their faith. I mean, very strong. It wasn't doubted. It wasn't an issue anybody was arguing over. To argue over it is to deny Christ his glory. I tell people, Jesus loses nothing. If you tell people they are saved forever, how does that de-glorify Jesus? Does it make Jesus a weak savior? I believe that's what makes him a strong savior. That you are in his hands. In John 10:28, he says, look, no man or no one can snatch you out of my hands. How about that? How about that being the sinner's prayer? That what they call the sinner's prayer, you say, okay, say with us, I have eternal life. I will never thirst again. Have you wondered sometimes, a preacher, I've seen this happen in some churches, that the preacher has given an altar call, then he's leading men to sinner's prayer. And people in the congregation secretly are saying it. One day I caught my mom saying after Pastor Chris one day on television, said, I believe, and my dad, I said, why are you saying it? It's not enough. It's never enough. It's never enough. You have to do it again and again. They are hearing wrong things. Wrong things. The moment you feel like an altar call, what have you been reading? So imagine if people come out and say to them, I've received the gospel. I am saved. I'm saved forever. I am in the hands of Christ my Savior, and nothing can snatch me out of his hands. And say, I will never hunger or thirst again for eternal life because it's mine forever. Imagine that's what people say. He won't think because he's seen that afternoon. Something has happened. Then runs the pastor, something happened right now. And I'm very sad. Pastor said, I understand. We have to keep holding on. You got to hold to his hand. God's not changing it. No, you're not the one holding to him. He's the one holding to you. Hallelujah. The hold of salvation is not the believer's hold. It's the Savior's hold. I have eternal life. You must recognize that. In Romans 6. Are you still there? Romans 6. Let's read verse 3 together to verse 5. Let's go. Romans 6 verse 3 to 5. Let's go. Know ye not? I'll wait for you everybody. Let's go. I'm going to wait for you again. Let's go. That's not everybody. I'm waiting for everybody. Romans 6 3. Can we go? Let's go. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ. Verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the glory of the Father, even so we should walk what? Verse 5. If we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be what? Verse 6.
knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, and the body of sin will be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin. Verse 7, verse 8, we believe that we shall also live with him. Verse 9, knowing that Christ been raised from the dead, dies no more, there has no. Verse 10, for in that he died unto sin once, in that he lives. Now verse 11, likewise, but alive. So what do you reckon now? I am alive unto God. Glory to God. That's what you reckon with. The word reckon means to take account of this. Reckon yourself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, I take record of what God has done in Christ. Look at Colossians 3. Is this a natural life or a supernatural life? It's supernatural. You don't know, I told you the other time, you don't know supernatural things naturally. You know supernatural things supernaturally. Colossians 3. If you then be risen with Christ. Hallelujah. See, I'm risen with Christ. Seek those things that are above. Imagine if it says, seek those things that are above. Doesn't mean you'll be looking up. It says, if you are risen with Christ. That means, seek what is in you. Because the person above is you. Hallelujah. Say, I'm risen with Christ. I'm seated in him. I am above. So, what are you seeking? That means you look, see yourself where? Where do you see yourself? Above. Are you going to see this by experience? No, not by feelings. It's by the word. In the morning we're talking about calling the things that be not as though they were. You have to call out the word. Sing the word. There are some songs you change it. For example, the song we sang the other time. We will worship the Lamb of Glory. That's a song by Gene Robertson. Forgotten the surname now. We don't worship the Lamb of Glory. He died the Lamb. He rose as the Lord. He's no longer a sacrifice. Praise God. We will worship, and with our hands lifted high, we will worship and sing, and with our hands lifted high, we come before you rejoicing. No. We are in him and rejoicing. And with eyes lifted high to the Lord, in the Lord. Hallelujah. Because that's where we are. Paul says we seek those things that are where? That are in us. That are where we are. Where are you now? I am in Christ. I rose with Christ. I'm identified in Christ. P.W. Kenyon said, the Bible is written in the language of identification. I agree with that. Colossians 3. Set your affection on the things above, not of things on the earth. What is he saying? Let your desires be about where you are in Christ. Who you are in Christ. When Christ, our life. Hallelujah. Look at that verse 4. When Christ, our life, shall appear, then shall we appear with him in glory. Says Christ, our life. Christ, our Zoe. Christ, our life. Look at something else, sir. In verse 3, he says, if you are there, then your life is hid with Christ in God. In Christ, in God. So I'm saying, in Christ, in God. Your life is hid with Christ in God. Cryptos, he uses, is concealed. That is, you cannot see the Christian life except in God. It's concealed. You can't see it except in God. You can't see it except in Christ. The Christian life is not in do's and don'ts, even though we do things and we do other things we don't do. But a Christian life is found in Christ, in God. Hallelujah. Your life is not in that movie. Did you hear me? It's not in that song. Those songs, people are sung with their experiences. I have made you to fall in my eyes. The songwriter is not wrong. He used a personal pronoun. So how do you sing it? He has made you too small in his eyes, and he says you should forgive him. He has believed in a lie that you were unable to save him. But now, Lord, he sings to you. See his heart and show yourself strong to him. And in his heart and in his soul, he says, be magnified, O Lord, be magnified. But I say, you are magnified, O Lord. You are highly exalted, and there is nothing you can do, O Lord. My eyes are on you. His own eyes on himself. Help people sing. Let them sing their own song. Praise the Lord. Don't sing those songs for them. Sing your own songs. If you are risen with Christ, set your affection, set your songs on the things that are above. Our life is hid in Christ, in God. Hallelujah. I've got the life of God. Christ is my life. I've got the nature of God. Christ is my nature. I've got the life of God. I've got the life of God. Do you know we sing those songs in children's church? I've got the life of God in me. I've got the spirit of the Son of God. I've got the life of God in me. Then we confuse them. This little light of mine. After you sung that with them, they'll say, are you in the Lord? Yes, sir. I will never say for my mommy's fault. No, 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 daddy. No, 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 daddy. I will never. You are confusing them. I am in the Lord. Yes, sir. From children to Lord's army. Is it Boy Scouts or Cub Scouts? Hallelujah. What about teaching them? I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Oh, things are passed away. I'm born again. More than a conqueror. That's who I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Adore him, adore him, adore him, for Jesus is Lord. There is no condemnation for me in Christ Jesus. I walk in the spirit of life. I adore him, I adore him, adore him, I adore him, for Jesus is Lord. There is no fun for me in Christ Jesus. I walk in, one more time. I adore him, I adore him, adore him, I adore him, for Jesus is Lord. There is no condemnation for me in Christ Jesus. I walk in the spirit of the Hallelujah. That's the one that glorifies God, not the one that they set a lot of equipment to sing rubbish. 50 million naira keyboard. Drums are playing. Ga, 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 and they sang rubbish. You can pay for rubbish. Expensive ignorance. Religion overpriced. That's what it is. Everything, and then the whole stage is dim. There's light. There's all light and go. You're about to see rubbish. Your presence. Let's leave it now. You know, it's just funfair. What is important are the things you say, whether you played anything to it or with it. So don't be carried away by good sound. Good sound. Just good sound. That's what it is. Christ our life. Christ our life. He is our song. He is our confession. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So you need to see that. Where Christ is raised. Look at Colossians 2:12. Let's take it together. Colossians 2:12. Let's go. Buried with him. Everybody, let's go. Buried with him in baptism when you are raising with him through the faith of the operation of God who would raise him from the dead. Let's take this thing together. And you've been dead in your sins and sins of your flesh. Have been quickened together with him. Have been forgiven you some. Hallelujah. Oh. You are raised together. Colossians 2:6, raised together. So, the revelation of Christ is the disclosure of the believer. That is how you see the believer in Christ. He must be found in Christ. In Colossians 2, verse 10, he says, you are completing him, which is the head of all principalities and powers. I'm completing him. You have to say this often. So often. It's not foundation school. This is the foundation of Christianity. Not foundation school. So when you now grow up, you now move to other things. Like what? Paul says, behold, all things have become new. The Christian life is found in Christ. Hallelujah. Sometimes your experiences may be conflicting, but Christ is assured. Christ is stable. Christ is complete. So supernatural living for a believer starts by seeing Christ as your life. He's your life. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. He's our life. We're hidden Christ. So, as a believer, one, Christ is my life. I am born again supernaturally. The new birth is supernatural. The wind blew it where it least, and we read that the other time. You hear the sound, you can't tell us where it's coming from or where it's going to. So it's everyone that is born of the Spirit. Say, I'm born of the Spirit. I'm born supernaturally. Even though it appeared like it was a natural thing. You just came out or something like that. Or you got up and filled your name on the form. No. What happened to you was supernatural. That's why it takes time to come to that knowledge. Some of us, it took us 10, 20 years. A brother was told, Brother Solomon, he was told that he didn't have the Holy Spirit. He was saved in 1986. And for 10 years of his life, he was an usher. The truth is that I didn't even know. I assumed he knew. So when I took the meetings then, in 94, 95, when I used to see him, I thought he knew. Because he was always looking happy. So one day, in 1996, he now said, I don't have the Holy Spirit. I said, you don't have the Holy Spirit. But you are born again. He said, yes. That is the first step. He said, that's why I've been waiting for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I said, when did you receive Christ? He said, 1986, December. I said, that was the day you had the Holy Spirit.
And I showed him. He was looking at me. We were looking at each other.
And I, you know, it was such a meeting that I could sit him down and explain to him. You could see that he didn't know whether to cry, to be angry, but not at me. What's my own? I was not even saved in 1986. But he had been saved. But he was in the wrong place. Where he was told the wrong things. So right there and then, said, from the day you accepted the gospel, you could speak in tongues. He said, ha. He had been waiting. He said, why were you waiting? He said, Luke 24. Jesus said, it's your tarry. Are you in Jerusalem? And how many days do you even want to wait? How many days did they wait? Someone called himself the Job. I said, your own Job is too long. How many months was even Job suffering? Your own is 10 years. Are you prolonging his days? And I laid hands on Brother Solomon, saying, George School. As I laid hands on him, the tongues that came out had emotions. Mark! You will see that the thing has been trying to come out for years. So he was jumping from tears to calm down. Can I speak in tongues? I see him now, he sings with Sinach and the Christ Embassy team. You will see him in the videos. One time he came to church when we were there, but I said, are you not the same person? I can remember his gospel. I said, don't say it. When you wanted to break chair. Imagine the ignorance. So you can have majority and they are wrong. They are wrong. They are wrong. I mean wrong. And some people, you know, they can be so intimidating. They are wrong. Can a man say on the pulpit that if you don't give tithe, you cannot make heaven? That's absolutely wrong. That means you are equating tithe to the death of Christ. That's what it means. Jesus said, he that believes in me will have eternal life. Somebody said, he that gives tithe. That's wrong. And such a person should be rebuked. And he should apologize. He should apologize to his church. I believe he was just angry. Because I don't think any Christian can say that. He was angry. You know, sometimes you can get angry and say funny things. I believe he will change. And they say, you know, guys, I was joking. That statement is ridiculous. And there are people in their thousands who have believed in what is called second work of grace. They have believed that you have to thirst, hunger, push, 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 push. Push what? Say you will never hunger again. That is what Jesus said. It means no, it makes no difference if thousands and thousands of denominations are saying all contrary. The word of God cannot be changed. You have eternal life. What you receive by the gospel can never change. Your actions may be unstable. Your views may change in life. Your experiences can alter. But what God did can never change. Hallelujah. We're born again, never to die again. This life is eternal. It's eternal. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we're born supernaturally. We said the other time, we also know things supernaturally. Say, I know supernaturally. So everything in Christ is supernatural in origin and also supernatural in activity. I have insights from God. Say, I have insights from God. Say, I have insights from God. I can't be led into error. Because I have an unction from the Holy One. And I know all things. See, when you see believers yield to false doctrine, they were not listening to that unction. See, without teaching, no teaching, that is, no teaching, no exegesis, God puts something in you, Himself, that makes you know where you have been seduced.
The reason why believers they are led astray is because they have not been taught about that unction. There are things I knew without knowing as a believer. And I'll tell you this. I remember, you know, my first time of reading people like Kenneth Hagin. The first book I was given the day I got born again was Assurance of Salvation. That book was full of requirements. How can you give assurance by requirement? By the time I finished the last chapter, I lost every assurance I would have had. Hunger and thirsty, for hungry and thirsty for righteousness, till I read firstly John Osteen. John, don't forget, John Osteen. And he spoke, no, just clarity. The gift of righteousness. Then I began to read Kenneth Hagin. I didn't first like the books. But I can't read it. Just by reading, because of the light he had shed on my heart, I just started knowing that something was wrong. This is wrong. I remember I went for a camp. And I didn't have scriptures. But the man was asking, if you want to be full of the Holy Ghost, he gave requirements. And the guy knew more Bible than I did, because I didn't know much Bible. But I knew he was wrong. How? I didn't know. And this is error. So, when I said, when people started speaking in tongues, I couldn't speak in tongues there publicly. I just shut my mouth. And my tongues was moving in my... But as more light came, I was bolder. I was bolder. Very bold. So knowledge does not make you anything. It only tells you what you have been made of. It's not knowledge that made you who you are. It's God that made you who you are. What knowledge does, it gives you the information. You don't have an unction from the Holy One because you do Bible study. You have an unction from the Holy One because you are born again. But Bible study puts your attention on it. Thank God for knowledge. But knowledge is not what made me a new creature. Studying Bible and coming to church and taking notes is not what made me an overcomer. That's not what made it salvation eternal. No. It was before I knew it. So when you find believers walking out in you, it's there. You have an unction from the Holy One. And you know all things. Say, I know the voice of the Good Shepherd. The voice of a stranger, I will not give heed to. I don't yield to self-righteousness or self-consciousness. I have a Christ consciousness. Glory to God. Glory to God. I have insights from God. Paul says, he that is spiritual judges all things. Those you know, like Kenyon would talk, that's a daring statement. You know, E.W. Kenyon, when he writes a book, he will say, I dare say. Hallelujah. Paul says, he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he is judged of no man. Hallelujah. So who has known the mind of the Lord? 1 Corinthians 2:16. That he might instruct him. Say, we have the mind of Christ. Say, I have the mind of Christ. Imagine that kind of verse has been used for biology, physics, chemistry. Mind of Christ means you have an understanding from Christ to know the scriptures. The written word. We have it. Say, I have God's insights. We have the power of God. Power of God. You have power. Hallelujah. You have power. Ephesians 1:19. The exceeding greatness of his power towards what we believe, according to the working of his own mighty power. But yes, you can find 1 million people getting the faith. Holy Ghost, power, follow me. Like on the day of Pentecost, fire, follow, fire. Like this, and there will be millions. They are just a million ignorant people. And what you hear tonight, heaven. That's the gift of ignorance. Hallelujah. There are large congregations that if, not all, not even most, but there are some, if there's just a seminar on righteousness through faith for 5 days, that congregation will be empty. Just one seminar. And they give the guy time, oh, and there's no praise worship. There's no, just teaching. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. By that Friday, the congregation will reduce. Those who will stay will be the pastor's family members. Hallelujah. We are born supernaturally. I have insight from God. I have power from God. Hallelujah. That's why Jesus could tell people, in my name, you will cast out demons. Rather than believers casting out demons, they are going for deliverance. What has happened? A man that should be told he has the power of God, but he has been told it's in a bottle, or it's in an anki, or in the words of the man of God. So he thinks he needs deliverance. And he will come out. How many are you? We are 24. What's your name? Gisha. What do you say? I say in the bus. I'm born supernaturally. Christ is my life. A dear sister then, she was told she was second in command of the devil by a church in Ibadan. So she came to tell me that she was having a problem in her academics. I started laughing. Myself and my friend, Pastor Yomi Ojo, we're not laughing. He said, sir, I said, I'm second in command of the devil. That, and you're laughing. I said, how can you second? I said, who is third in command? Who built the structure? Say, you are not second in command of the devil. You are not even anybody's command. You are just ignorant. And we show that God's word. God's word. And that was it. She stopped attending that church. It's not ignorance. It's not arrogance, sorry. It's just the right thing to do. So she saw us later. She had graduated. She was now serving. She was so glad. I told the story. So Pastor Ola was there the day. She hugged me in front of Idia Hall. She said, thank you so much for the books you gave me. I gave her Kenneth Hagin books. She said, stop reading those books. When you see the title wrong, arresting the arrester. Generational causes. Don't even find out what they are trying to say. They are not trying to say anything. Just leave it alone. Don't buy. Don't waste your money. How can you use your money to purchase bondage? Someone told us that back. He said, my library has books. He said, I used almost $100 million to put up my library. Then my friend said, can I take in books? We looked at all the books that should be Bible word material. They are not up to that. With that, with 500K, you have the right books. This man is just wasting his money. Hallelujah. Why do believers think wrongly? They have been taught wrongly. There are songs that when somebody raises it in a service, we should all be laughing. There's something that makes me. We should just talk together. What thing? Everybody just say, what thing is making you? Because we are full of the word. We also speak supernaturally. God has opened our voice. Jesus said, in my name they will speak. See, I speak in his name. I speak in tongues in his name. I speak by the power of God in his name. Paul said, he that speaks in tongues speaks not unto men but unto God. For no man understands 1 Corinthians 14:2. Howbeit in the spirit he speaks mystery. I can speak in the spirit. No, we are born supernatural. We know supernatural. We also speak supernatural. We speak supernatural. This is not oratory. How to speak well, and you spoke rubbish. We speak supernaturally. We prophesy. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom.
teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, in hymns, and in spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart. Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine when in excess, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. With the Holy Spirit, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. Say, I can sing supernaturally. I can speak supernaturally. I can also pray supernaturally. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Jude 20, beloved, build up yourselves in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. We are in a supernatural life. We are born supernaturally. We know supernaturally. We are led supernaturally. We speak supernaturally. We minister supernaturally. You might not be a good orator, but you are born supernaturally. And you can minister supernaturally. I'm born of the Spirit of God. I minister the power of God. I lay hands on the sick, and the sick recover. Because I'm born supernaturally. Speak in tongues, someone. Come on, speak in tongues. I refuse to have the wrong thoughts. I have the thoughts of Christ. I have the thoughts of the Word of God. I have the thoughts of the mind of God. I have the thoughts of the glory of God. My life is supernatural. Salvation is supernatural. The new body is supernatural. All I have in Christ are supernatural truths and realities.